This is a CHY News Report. According to the latest report by the BC Coroner Service, Nanaimo has seen 76 unregulated drug deaths in the first 7 months of 2023, just one shy of the annual all-time record of 77 deaths in 2022. Nanaimo has 5% of all drug deaths in the province this year, only behind the large cities of Vancouver, Surrey, and Greater Victoria. Central Vancouver Island has seen a total of 129 fatalities in the first 7 months, while South Vancouver Island has 95 and North Island has seen 51 deaths. Sarah Lovegrove is a registered nurse and the chair of the Nanaimo Community Action Team. She helped organize the Nanaimo event for International Overdose Awareness Day in Nanaimo's Mafeo Sutton Park on Thursday.
This day is extremely emotional for me. I feel very sad listening to these stories, mainly because I know how deeply our community is impacted by this crisis, but also in recognition of the inaction of policymakers for the past several years and the fact that we have to continue having this day over and over again every single year, and the fact that it becomes more and more urgent each year. I also just feel deeply for my community and the ways that people have suffered and continue to suffer.
One of the people sharing stories at the event was Amy Shalafo, who works at the 710 Club, providing meals to the homeless. She told a story about finding a man overdosing in an encampment.
And I thought he was my son at first, because there was so much stuff in the way, and he was dead. And people around were screaming and crying and panicking. I don't know how, but I threw stuff out of my way. I had to throw a tent out of my way, a big heavy bicycle, and the next thing I knew, I was on top of him and doing CPR. Now he's my brother. And he's doing great. And I'm so proud of him.
Shalafo and Andre LaFemme stayed in touch, working together on a Cree language program, and attended the overdose awareness event together on Thursday. Kisa Pavita is the peer outreach coordinator for the Nanaimo Community Action Team, who was able to access BC's prescribed safe supply program.
I was lucky to have the option to transition through my drug use from sobriety safely with very understanding doctors and friends who helped me access a non-toxic drug supply. Every time I wake up next to my wife, it feels like a gift. Because I have so many loved ones who were never given that chance. I still have so many friends who don't have the option to access safe supply. I am 23 years old, and I am sick of losing the people that I love. If I'm worthy of dignity and respect when I am using drugs because you don't know it, then I was worthy the whole time. And that means everyone else is also worthy of that same dignity and respect. It means my friends were and are.
Wanda LeBlanc was at the event with Mom Stop the Harm. Her son uses drugs, and she talked about the importance of safe supply.
I strongly believe in safe supply. If you would have talked to me 5 years ago, I would not be saying that. As a parent and the people that I know in Mom Stop the Harm, my opinions changed completely. Safe supply is a way to engage people. It's a way to keep them alive long enough for them to find support, and it's a way to engage them and let them know that there is support out there for them. So that's what safe supply is about. It's not about providing drugs.
Lovegrove says that while the safe supply program is important, its efficacy is limited both by the number of prescribers as well as the types of drugs that are available through it.
So Safe Supply, while it's a fairly accessible program, we're limited by the number of prescribers who are able to offer. So only a certain amount of people in Nanaimo specifically are able to access it because of the limitations around the people who prescribe. As well as the program in general from the provincial government is limited in its use of Dilaudid as a safe supply. We need to be meeting people where they're at in their substance use, so offering a safe supply of cocaine, of methamphetamines and other opioids and stronger opioids like fentanyl for people to be able to access, because right now what they're utilizing is not enough to meet the needs of their pain and trauma.
Social Development and Poverty Reduction Minister Sheila Malcolmson also spoke at the event, giving credit to local advocates and harm reduction workers.
There is so much grief in the community and in Nanaimo for such a long time. This community was hit harder and earlier than other communities in British Columbia, and British Columbia more than other parts of the country. It's been the grassroots and the practitioners here who have informed so much of what we have been able to build together, that the first community action team was in Nanaimo, and that then was the model for a grassroots-based response to the toxic drug crisis across all of British Columbia. It's because people here found their own way of working together with doctors, with outreach workers, with people who are elected. And so we are all here, all three levels of government here, with our open ears. The stories that you honor us with by sharing those who have been lost, it informs the work that we do every day, and it hasn't been enough.
While Lovegrove appreciated that Malcolmson, as well as local member of parliament Lisa Marie Barron and a handful of city councillors, attended the event, she says that politicians are ultimately responsible for the failed response to the toxic drug crisis.
I often hear politicians speaking at these events, skirting the line of where their politics begin and end, without really recognizing the need for immediate action and their level of responsibility within this crisis. So this is the overdose deaths are a policy failure, and it is the policymakers who need to implement change immediately to do so. We can't do that as community members, as healthcare providers. We can't change policy. It's the one arm of this crisis that we cannot move, and it's up to policymakers to make those changes happen immediately.
LeBlanc was also critical of the government's actions.
I do not feel the government is responding. I think the response is so minimal. There is very little treatment. You know, when somebody with toxic drugs wants to get help, wants to be safe, there isn't places for them to go. You know, we talk about recovery and detoxing and treatment. It's, you know, when somebody wants to go into recovery, they want to do it when they're ready. Not 3 months from now, not 6 months from now. So the availability is really, it's not there. The government has not put enough money.
Sepulveda says that further political action is needed to stem the tsunami of toxic drug deaths.
To our politicians with us today, you have the ability to create something that I can't create for myself, and that is hope. You have the ability to change my future and to change how I will spend the rest of my life. I'd love to spend it gardening, but this is where I have to spend it.
Lovegrove says that while there was frustration with the government at the event, ultimately it was more about creating the space where people could connect with one another.
I think what we really want to send home to people is the importance of compassion and the importance of doing this work from our hearts. We're not going to create any change without that level of compassion for humans and human rights. So if we try to dive deep into our hearts around this issue and let that guide us, then I think we can come together and find solutions.
For CHOI News, this is Mick Sweetman.
This report was made with the support of the Local Journals Initiative, the Community Radio Fund of Canada, and listeners like you.